Hello, newsletter enthusiasts. I'm John Weigel here with Pamela Bump and Rob Litterst, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Today, we're diving into this juicy Future of Newsletters report to discuss some of the most valuable insights from the report and how you can create a successful newsletter, just like we did at The Hustle. As mentioned before, I'm joined by Pamela Bump, Senior Manager of Content Innovation and Research at HubSpot, who performed the research for this detailed report, and Rob Litterst, who heads up newsletter strategy and operations for HubSpot's newsletter network. Welcome, Pamela and Rob. I said newsletter a bunch already, so it's going to be good today.
Oh, we're going to say it a lot more. Thanks for having us, John.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So let's start here with just the newsletter landscape in general, because at least I've been seeing all over my LinkedIn feed that it feels like everybody has a newsletter right now. What would each of you kind of attribute the boom of newsletters happening across the board to? I'd love to hear from you first, Pamela.
Yeah, I mean, my thought is it is kind of like a lot of other channels in the past where it is something that you can build out for nearly free. If you're great with content strategy, editorial, newsletters could be an area that you expand on. If you have a credible background in your industry, you might be more of a thought leader. Newsletters is also a great place to lean into. I feel like we have a lot of entrepreneurial audiences that read The Hustle, Trends, Masters in Marketing, for example. And a lot of those folks are very interested in the newsletter landscape because it seems like an easy entry point to entrepreneurship. It takes less to create initially. It's more of a time and effort thing to kind of build up that subscriber base, those people knowing you, rather than a big business that you might have to get an investment or a loan or a brick and mortar shop for example. So I think it's kind of like that in the sense of, you know, it's easy to build up. I think you saw something similar happen with podcasting. A lot of people realized that, you know, riffing and chatting, especially if they had expertise on their industry, was a great way to have this low cost kind of business built. I think newsletters is even easier in a sense, in some ways, because you don't have to be seen. You can be writing and you can be one person. So I think that's where a lot of the interest is there. And I think we've also seen platforms like Substack rise, where you have success stories of people saying, oh, I started writing about my thoughts on Substack and gained subscribers and gained some money. And I think, although not everyone can just be a newsletter millionaire, it's an easier entry point to get into newsletters.
Definitely. It's like such a low barrier of entry that makes so much sense. Rob, what are some of your thoughts on kind of the boom of newsletters?
Yeah, I mean, I think email is like the marketing channel that just won't die. It's like the cockroach of marketing channels. It's been here forever and it's not going anywhere. I think some people look at their email inbox with scrutiny and like really only want to subscribe to things that they want to see pop in there. And so I think there's a level of intimacy with people that write newsletters where like you see them pop into your inbox and it's just different than coming across something on TikTok or Instagram Reels or, you know, wherever else you're getting your content. I think Pam hit on the low barrier to entry, and I totally agree with that. I also think, to her point around Substack, platforms have made it much easier to publish a newsletter and now even monetize a newsletter with tools like Beehive and what they've put together on the back end for monetization. It's legitimately possible to build a newsletter business within, you know, a year and to be able to go full time on it. It's really unbelievable. I think we're only going to see more and more people do this. And especially with Gen AI tools, like helping you brainstorm and come up with article ideas and helping you edit your pieces, it's never been easier to start a newsletter. But that also means it's probably never been harder because so many people are kind of entering the market.
True. Yeah, definitely a good point about a lot of people getting in the market. And great segue, because there are so many newsletters and there will be even more newsletters when we wake up tomorrow. How do you make a newsletter profitable? And whoever wants to jump at that can.
Yeah. I mean, in our research, we saw that a lot of people who have more than 200 subscribers and are making a solid profit month over month, where they're making more money than they spend, a lot of them have kind of a mixed approach where they have potentially a paid subscriber net where people pay to read their newsletters or they pay for a platform that gives that person commission when a newsletter is subscribed to that is theirs. They also might leverage paid promotions such as advertorial content from a brand or mentioning a brand or even like a banner ad. that can give them some quick commission or money that way. So we've seen a lot of people that are kind of building up using a mix of revenue models, but I'm curious of what you've seen, Rob, since you've been actually in this industry for a much longer time than myself or some of the folks that we even polled.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conventional and traditional way to monetize a newsletter is through ads, right? Through selling ads. But I think you kind of have to wait to do that until you build your audience and have more subscribers, because otherwise you just can't really charge that much. Like if you only have like 1,000 subscribers or even 5,000 subscribers, it's hard to make a lot of money on your newsletter unless you're hyper niche and have like a very, very specific sponsor profile. So I've seen some very cool ways to monetize newsletters outside of that. I mean, what we do at HubSpot is obviously we have software on the back end that we sell. And I think that's kind of like the baseline for a lot of the other options that I've seen. I've seen folks monetize through consulting. So the newsletter is really kind of like their avenue to get the word out and get their expertise out. And then they do consulting on the back end. I've seen folks monetize with like digital courses and digital products. Like Justin Welsh would be a great example of that. He's a guy who's built courses on creating content on LinkedIn and creating content more broadly. And he monetizes that way. I've also seen folks monetize through job boards. So like if you have kind of like a industry specific newsletter and you build up enough density and you build up a big enough audience, you can actually monetize through job boards and ultimately get that pass through revenue, which is super cool. So I think there are more ways to monetize a newsletter than ever now, which is super cool.
Yeah, a lot of routes to do that. And of course, every newsletter, the one thing that they all need is an audience. And for some people, I guess finding that audience can be a little tough. Like you mentioned, Rob, if you kind of are super nichified or if you're going in on a topic that a lot of other people are also covering. So how would both of you say that you can more easily find an audience?
One thing I would think about is how other people on other content channels have done it. Think about a niche that you are really strong at, that you have expertise at. That could be a great niche to zone in on, because then you can be creating social media content, content on other channels that helps you to build that name for yourself as a personality. And then you can use those channels as a great distribution source to find that audience. Another option, if you are further along, potentially starting to see profit from a newsletter that we have leveraged and, you know, a lot of other newsletters have leveraged is, you know, targeted paid advertising, kind of targeting a prospect that could subscribe on social, search, areas like that, and driving them in. I'm a big fan of driving audiences organically and meeting them where they are and trying to learn how they work and marketing my content to them. But I think that paid does work for some folks as well.
Yeah, I think finding an audience can be hard. You know, I think one of the easiest ways to find an audience is to write your newsletter about something that you're inherently interested in, which it can just be challenging to consistently produce content about things that you're not interested in. So I think writing about something that you actually care about is the easiest way to sustain content creation long term. It's also the easiest way, I think, to find an audience. Because if you're interested in it, you're probably engaging with people that are interested in it. You probably know where they hang out. And you probably know like where you could go to interact with people and ultimately grow your audience. And I think like so many places where you could find an audience have gotten so spammy. Like people are constantly pushing their own stuff. Like everybody has a newsletter. So you don't want to be the person who just like jumps into the subreddit and like throws their newsletter link in there. But I think if you're authentically engaging in the channels where your audience lives, then you're going to have a much easier time growing your audience.
Totally. It makes a lot of sense. And from there, I want to kind of jump to talking about that audience a little more about who is really reading newsletters. And of course, that can vary across different demographics depending on the newsletter. But I definitely want to know like what generations or what kind of people are reading newsletters more than others, if that's possible.
Yeah. In our research, it seemed that most folks with 200 plus subscribers, they saw a pretty even split between men and women. Obviously, that can differ by industry. I know that there are some, you know, entrepreneurial newsletters or other areas that might be skewed to male or female, dependent on the content strategy. And depending on your prospect and your target audience, that might also cause a skew. So ultimately, you want to lean in to the best persona for your email topic. But we also see a lot of millennials reading a lot of newsletters. I think that is one of those areas where they are very tech savvy, but they're also still interested in email and other similar like pay to subscribe sources. I think Gen Z could get there eventually. I think right now they're very focused in kind of the in-feed, fast-paced TikTok style kind of content. But at the same time, newsletters are great. I think as a millennial personally, I love to have a nice newsletter that informs me about my hobbies or interests or helps me better myself at work that is just in my inbox or something that is on a platform I read. So I can see the millennial tie-in. So it seems like there's a very huge millennial tie, but it doesn't mean that it can't vary for your target audience.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes a ton of sense that millennials love newsletters. If you think about the internet, like how everything has kind of progressed, millennials were probably all reading blogs in high school, and newsletters are kind of like an extension of blogs. And I think millennials are kind of like the generation that is like most honed into kind of like the text-based version of the internet, right? And when you think about Gen Z, they're so plugged into video. Like I think if you read anything about how much Gen Z is using different channels, you see crazy stats. Like they spend like 6 hours a day on YouTube and stuff like that. So I think text-based channels are like highly, highly engaging for millennials. I do think Gen Z, like Pam said, obviously there's appetite for it with them as well. But I think that kind of like text native part of being a millennial is definitely part of it.
Yeah.
And I think when thinking about that and kind of the evolution of how newsletters could evolve in the next 5 to 10 years, I see a lot of these platforms potentially evolving too, or people zoning in on creating newsletters on platforms where they can lean into some of these Gen Z elements. For example, I think email is a great platform for some, but some inboxes still can't do video pretty well or mobile optimization. So I definitely see newsletters evolving when it comes to platform and the types of content and elements people are working in to better meet that Gen Z audience. But at the same time, I think right now millennials definitely have a stronghold. And I think you nailed it right on the head. We grew up reading blogs and we're accustomed to that. And we want to know what's next. So I think that is a really interesting thing to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, if you put it all in a MySpace, I'd read it. No problem. And talking about the future of newsletters as well, I would like to know your take on the role of AI in newsletter creation, because obviously with more newsletters, there's going to be more of a temptation for newsletter creators to use AI to write a lot of their messaging. So what's your take on kind of the future of AI in newsletters?
I mean, we've done lots of different research with every type of content creator on AI through every content channel, and people are genuinely excited. But it also is a little bit nerve-wracking because they're thinking their competitor can also churn out content really fast and help themselves churn out content. So even if you're using AI to get ahead, someone else could be getting ahead. I think one of the big things for newsletters, people in blogging, newsletters, other very personality-driven channels is to think about, how do I use AI to streamline what I'm doing? So that way, if I streamline the really basic admin tasks and the things that might drive me nuts all week, how do I have more time to be genuinely creative and come up with content that is genuinely different from my competitors? I think one thing to keep in mind is when people are subscribing to a newsletter, oftentimes they're subscribing to the personality and credibility of the writer. So you want to let that personality shine through, and AI can't always do that. So sure, like if you want to use AI to get a guide on like what's the best outline for my email or, you know, what titles could be great, I think, you know, streamline what you can with the tool, but also use it as a way to let your personality shine through essentially.
Yeah. And what do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I don't have too much to add there. I do think AI has become, you know, such a helpful tool when it comes to newsletters. I think that one of the hardest parts about writing a newsletter is writer's block and having to publish something and like deal with that anxiety that comes with clicking send every single week. And with AI, if you write a newsletter about kind of like a specific topic or space, it's very, very easy to kind of use AI as your sparring partner to come up with ideas. I have a newsletter that I've been writing for a few years. That's been super helpful for me when it comes to coming up with new topics. And I use AI as well for, you know, kind of like editing support and help and clarifying some of the things that I'm writing. So I've heard of people kind of like creating visuals through AI as well. So I just think there's a ton that you can do with it downstream that'll be really interesting.
Totally.
Definitely.
And to finish up here, guys, I would like just one more piece of advice from each of you on creating a newsletter and people who are looking to get started.
I mean, I think one thing you're going to see in this report is that a lot of people say, you know, it helps me earn more than I'm spending on it, or it could be a full-time job for me. And for a lot of people, that is the case. But it will take time, like any other content channel, to build up. You're going to want to build up a following. You're going to want to build up a content strategy. There will be strategies you try that don't work, but they are great learnings. So I think that's one of those things you have to keep in mind, is that you can't be a millionaire on day one, but you sure can work towards it and kind of work towards that effort of, maybe I can have a small win of maybe making $200, $500 a month in a certain portion of time. So I think don't get fed up if things don't happen immediately, but definitely think about ways that you can continue to grow and build up that strategy over time.
Totally. I touched on it earlier, but one thing that I would definitely recommend is writing about something that you feel like you know and feel qualified to write about. And also to hit on what you said, Pam, like you don't have to go all in from the get-go. Like I actually think writing a newsletter while you have a job and writing that newsletter about what you're working on can be a very good place to start. Because if you're writing about things that you're seeing in your work, then likely your colleagues are going to like the newsletter. People that, you know, are in your peer group are going to like the newsletter. And it can be a really easy way to kind of get started seamlessly and a really easy way for you to come up with things to write about naturally.
I agree. 100%.
Totally. Well, thank you both. This has been really awesome to hear from you on your newsletter expertise. And of course, for anybody that wants more insights, you can download and read the free Future of Newsletters report. You can find it on offers.hubspot.com/future-of-newsletters. So definitely check it out there. Thank you guys for your time so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, John.